Let's open our Bible this morning to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Speaking of mom. Genesis chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse number 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we just ask you this morning that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us. Lord, as we read your word and consider what it means and what the message is to us, Lord, we pray that each of us will prayerfully consider what you have for us. Lord, every one of us here this morning has a mother. And Lord, as we look at mothers in the scripture and see what you have to say about them, Lord, help us to give them their due regard. And Lord, also help us to see the pitiful state that each of us were born into. Lord, lost and undone and without any hope in this world. Children of Adam, children of Eve, without hope. And yet you loved us so much that you sent another mother. Lord, when the fullness of time came, you came into our race born of a woman. Lord, became one of us and loved us so much that you died on the cross of Calvary for us, that all of us might be forgiven of our sin. Lord, that what we just read about in the book of Genesis, that evil plan of the serpent might be overthrown by your love. We pray, Lord, that you'd show each one that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 13 again, And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She told the truth. The scripture says in the New Testament that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. You know, Eve wasn't around when the Lord God told Adam, Of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but there's this one that I've reserved unto myself. She knew it, but she didn't hear it by the voice of God, and the scripture says that nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's sin. You see, Adam did what he did with a high hand. He did it deliberately. It was an in-your-face to God. It wasn't that way with Eve. She did tell the truth, although it would have been far better if she had said, The serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Oh, dear Lord, forgive me. Isn't there some way? Now she blamed it on the serpent. Not that it wasn't the serpent's fault. Well, the Lord takes care of the serpent, but in verse number 15, he goes on then to talk to Eve. Said, I'll put enmity. In other words, make enemies. Put hatred. Between thee and the woman. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? The devil is the special enemy of women. And between thy seed and her seed, no wonder he hates her, because the Lord God's not speaking here of her seeds as of many, but seed as of one, because from the woman is going to come the last Adam, or our blessed Redeemer, and Satan knows that. Trouble is brewing. Verse number 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. If we could transport ourselves back into the Garden of Eden and look upon this pathetic scene, I think we'd see a woman that didn't really understand the ramifications of what were being said. But it wouldn't be very many years hence, as she and her husband bent over the still form of their son, that the full impact of what was said here in the garden would come home to her. The first murder committed by her first son, an act perpetrated on another of her sons, and now what death means comes home to her. Imagine the tears that were shed that day and have been shed by mothers for 6,000 years ever since, as this story has repeated itself over and over and over. Thy sorrow and thy conception. More children, more sorrow. And thy desire, verse number 16, shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, that wasn't the case before sin came into the world. And ladies, it won't be the case either after we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. But it represents a problem now, and feminism hasn't cured it. Not at all. The world is filled with sin, sickness, and sadness. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee, and not at all kindly. Turn with me, if you will, to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. You know, Satan immediately got dizzy. Cain wasn't the first, the only misbegotten, I should say. Along comes Nimrod, all the rest of his crew. Things might start looking bad for the world, but don't forget a promise that God made to Eve, not to Adam, but to Eve. I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. There are going to be a lot of children that brought forth, all of them in sorrow, but some of them the sorrow will be turned to joy. Because there's going to be two kinds of people in this world. Not as the old saying goes, but the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And there's not going to be any peace between the two. They're going to be enemies. They're enemies today. Ruth chapter 4. beginning in verse number 9. Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, "Your witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi." Now, I want you to have your brain engaged. If you're a believer this morning, you're going to get a beautiful picture of the person and work of Christ here. Pay attention. Verse number 10. "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of this place, and ye are witnesses this day, I purchase to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." Verse number 11, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make this woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." Oh, she will. "And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee, Naomi, a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There's a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nahshon. Nahshon begat Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. And Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begat David. God didn't forget his promise to Eve, did he? Oh, her sorrow was multiplied. Her conception was multiplied. But listen to the cry here. "I'm going to raise this son up, and he's going to be a nourisher in your old age." And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And I know you're thinking, well, that's only part of the story. We're not quite there yet. But it's important for us to understand, ladies especially, that God never forgets his promises. Eve didn't take God by surprise in the Garden of Eden. Before God ever spoke, "Let there be light," he had already conceived Eve and all of her children in his heart, and he knew them all by name. Not just knew that they were going to be coming along, but he knew them personally, just like he knew you personally before time ever began. It's all choreographed. God never misses a beat. Never misses a lick. He always keeps his promises. And oh, all the tears that had been shed up till the time of Ruth. You know, it looked like it was all over for Israel. By a great and mighty hand, God had taken the Israelites up out of the land of Egypt and planted them in the land of Canaan. And they very quickly made a mess of everything. Didn't take them very long to get back down into Egypt. Here comes Naomi's boys and drags them down into the land of Moab. Because they wouldn't trust the Lord their God to feed them. And yet God kept his word.
And the beautiful thing about this is, Ruth wasn't even an Israelite. And here we find one of the children of Moab, and you know what the shameful history of that is, if you know anything about the Bible, included in the line of Christ. And time fails me to bring up Rahab. God keeps His promises. Always. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, who, by the way, also was of the house of David. Remember David? Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall rule over the house of Jacob forever, and the end of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her which was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Did you notice from what we just read? David. In the book of Ruth, we trace that genealogy back. And we found that the promise of God unto Eve had been kept faithfully. But now a very long time has elapsed. From King David until the affairs that we've just read about in the book of Luke. Many, many generations. And I'm sure women during those ensuing generations had begun to wonder in their hearts, is it really true? Will God keep His promise? A thousand days is with the Lord like a single day. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's consider the passage of Scripture that we just read. Verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. I want you to notice that it's a city of Galilee. In the book of Matthew, we find that there's something special about Galilee. It's called Galilee of the Gentiles. It was in the regions of Decapolis, the 10 cities inhabited by the Greeks. Part of Jesus' ministry was in a region called Perea. If you read the Gospels in a certain way, it looks like Jesus was only given as a gift to the house of Israel. But when God made the promises to Eve, there was no Israel. He spoke to the whole human race.
He's keeping His promise. Just exactly like He said.
Verse number 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name, who also was of the house of David, was Mary. In our Sunday school class, we've been talking about the Protestants and their problems. Now, the Roman Catholics have made quite a thing out of Mariolatry. Mariolatry is not good. But the Protestants have done dreadful violence because one of the first doctrines they threw over the side was the virgin birth of Christ. Oh, that's not important. You know, you can't preach that kind of a doctrine to the world. They'll think that you're Looney Tunes. They'll think that you're out of your mind. It's not possible that a virgin could conceive. Why, you just cast aspersions of doubt on the whole story of the gospel with this virgin birth thing. Away with it! It wasn't very long before they threw all the rest of the doctrines over the side, too. But you know, in the mind of a lot of Christians, the idea of the virgin birth is a small thing. Relatively unimportant. I mean, after all, Jesus is the main thing, isn't He? Yeah. Does God do wrong to do right? I don't think so. Verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. By the way, how many of you know what the name Mary means? Go ahead. We'll just pretend it's questions and answers. Tell me, brother. No. Sorrow and bitterness. Sorrow and bitterness. Naomi before said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." Sorrow and bitterness. Why a virgin birth? Well, don't you know that the sin that all of us inherited came from Adam? Didn't come from Eve. It came from Adam. God cut off the bloodline of sin by the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, you don't have a Savior, because He needs to be both our near kinsman, for the blood of goats and bulls could never take away sin, and it's a life for a life. He has to be one of us. He has to be perfect man and perfect God. How does He be perfect man if He's born of the seed of Adam? Remember what He told Eve in the Garden of Eden? I'm going to put hatred between your seed, Eve, singular, and the devil's seed. So has it always been, my friends. And so will it be until the consummation of all things. The virgin birth is a precious and important doctrine. And Jesus wasn't born of a man, He was born of a woman. And He didn't come from the tainted bloodline of Adam, but He is Jehovah God, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, you can't do away with the doctrine of the virgin birth. And if you can't do away with the doctrine of the virgin birth, you can't do away with the virgin. Say amen, somebody. Verse 29, and when she saw Him, she was troubled at His saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Oh, she's going to have plenty of thoughts about it later, too. Simeon and Anna are going to come into the temple after the birth of Jesus. And she's going to be told that a sword's going to pierce through her heart. And she didn't understand what he was saying, just like Eve before her didn't understand what God was telling her in the Garden of Eden, but she was going to find out. She was truly going to become Mary, sorrow and bitterness. But in about 3 days, her sorrow was going to be turned into joy. Took 4,000 years for Eve's sorrow to be turned into joy. But oh, what a thing. What hath God wrought? Indeed. Verse number 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. How precious is that? Eve found favor with God too. That's why he made the promise to her. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he'll be the Savior of his people. How wonderful. And just in case there's any Protestants in here, we have verse 32. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Yes, he's really God. Perfect man, perfect God, born of a woman. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's a wonderful thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 15 now. What shall we make out of this? Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. I mentioned this a moment ago. I want to say some more about it. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse number 21. If you read what comes before, Jesus has just had another one of those confrontations with the Pharisees. And as we've seen him do it before, he departs from thence, verse 21, interesting, and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Whoa. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan. Get hold of that. Came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Did you hear that? My, how Jesus tried her. By the way, he was telling her the truth. When he came the first time, he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what in the world is he doing up in the coasts of Tyre and Sidon? Think back to the days of David.
Did David have a connection with Tyre? Oh, he sure did. Hiram, the king of Tyre, was always a lover of David. Provided the cedars of Lebanon for the building of the temple. God never intended that all of his blessings would only be for the Israelites. He was thinking of us too. Eve is the mother of all living, not just the Israelites.
Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan. What do we know about Canaan?
You know, there's very foolish songs about Christians inhabiting the land of Canaan. That's because too many Christians don't understand what the Canaanites were. The horrible idolatry that they'd sunk into. The enemies of the nation of Israel.
The degenerates. The offscouring of the human race, if you will.
Yeah, that's what they were.
A woman of Canaan, verse 22, came out of the same coast. She didn't go to Jerusalem. He went to where she was. Were the Pharisees right? Look at him. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. He goes and eats with them. He'd rather spend time with the publicans and the sinners and the harlots than he would debating with the doctors in the temple.
He went to where she was.
By the way,
he knew exactly who she was from before the foundation of the world, and he knew exactly where she was going to be on that day, and guess where he was?
And this isn't Gamaliel we're talking about here. This isn't one of the learned doctors of Israel that's got a problem.
They didn't believe.
They were part of the learned doctors, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers that stirred up the mob in Jerusalem to say, "Away with him! Crucify him! We have no king but Caesar."
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." How did she know that? How did she know that? You don't suppose that the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers forgot to burn a few of those scrolls, do you? And they fell into the wrong hands. The unwashed heathen have been looking through the windows and reading our scriptures. How did she know that?
Well, I don't know, but I know she did. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David," capital O-O-R-D, Kurios, Lord God. Maybe the Pharisees didn't know who he was, but this woman did.
Wonderful thing.
Satan knew exactly where to strike in the Garden of Eden. He didn't start with Adam. He started with the weaker vessel. He knew it. He preyed upon her ignorance. He deceived her and took her captive.
And here's one of the daughters of Eve, putting her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when the learned doctors in the temple had rejected him.
Think about that for a moment. "Lord, thou son of David," my daughter, not my son, but my daughter.
If you'd have talked to the learned doctors in the temple, they'd have told you the girls weren't worth much. As a matter of fact, they used to pray a prayer that went something like this: "Thank you, O Lord God, that you didn't make me a woman." You know what? I'm glad he didn't too.
But I'm sure glad he made this woman a woman. And she comes begging for her daughter.
Who was more depraved, the Canaanites or the Israelites? Don't you wonder? Look what the problem is. She's grievously vexed with the devil. Grievously vexed with the devil. It's time for a trial of your faith.
But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Seems to me they'd given the Lord that advice several times. Don't pay any attention to that blind Bartimaeus. He's just a bum sitting by the road. He's blind. He's useless. He isn't any good to anybody. Get rid of him.
I wonder if the church isn't like that today. Who gives a rip about those lost people in those third world countries? They don't matter much.
Send them away. They cry after us. All they want is what we got.
They sure do, because we have a treasure that's more precious than rice. We got the words of life. Are we bottling them up like these Israelites did?
She's making too much noise. Get rid of her. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him.
Worshipped him.
Saying, "Lord," capital L-O-R-D, "help me."
The magicians and the necromancers back in Canaan, they can't help me. Already tried them. I'm out of options. I heard about this Jesus. My daughter, who I love, that's precious to me, I'd do anything for her. I'm going to go look him up. Little did she know that he was already on the way looking her up.
But he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Great is thy faith.
You know, that's what it comes down to today, ladies. That's what it comes down to today.
Eve didn't understand what God was telling her in the Garden of Eden. She'd heard it from Adam. You know, if we touch this, we'll surely die. I wonder what that means.
To her chagrin, she found out
must have been pretty painful to watch her husband digging a hole in the ground
to put the victim of the first murder into.
I doubt that was easy.
But she understood. I think this woman understood something too. She knew there was no human help when it comes to devils, constant oppressors of women. But she knew where to go to get some help.
And her faith was tried a little bit, and ladies, yours will be too.
You can be sure of that. But you understand something. God always keeps His promises.
Always keeps His promises. Turn to John chapter 19 and we'll be through.
John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 25. John chapter 19 and verse number 25.
Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, He said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I have a question, what's the last thing he did before he gave up the ghost? The last of the seven sayings. You know, sometimes we always say, you save the best till last. I wonder, what was the last thing Jesus did? Woman, behold thy son. He made sure that his mother was taken care of. But that isn't the only thing that enters into this scene. Look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, Peter, James, Bartholomew, Thomas. No? Really? How many of his disciples were there? Only one, and he cut and run too. He just worked up enough courage to sneak back. And what did he find out when he got back? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. She never left. Now the Catholics are wrong to worship Mary as a mediatrix. She's not. But she was a mother. She never deserted her son. Think of all of the rotten and vile things that she had heard about her son. And think about the fact that she had kept in her heart from the time that that son was 8 days old in the temple when the prophet and the prophetess told her, there's going to be a sword that will pierce through your own heart. And this boy is going to be for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. She didn't understand that, but she does now. She's got hold of it now. A sword is piercing through her heart. And that's only the culmination of 33 years of misunderstanding and grief. She knew who he was. But can you imagine the pain? Give us Barabbas! Crucify Jesus. We'll not have this man to rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. His blood be upon us and upon his children. For the last 2,000 years, it has been. If you look at the Middle East and Israel now, it still is. The sword indeed pierced through her heart, but mothers never give up, do they? The Lord God said of the seed of the woman that he would raise up a Savior. And isn't it tender that the last thing that our Lord does before he gives up the ghost is make sure that his mother is taken care of. But there's more. His mother's sister is there. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, is there. And interesting, Mary Magdalene. The Da Vinci Code is a lie. But this is true. The one out of whom he had cast seven devils. What happened? Where have we come when we still celebrate Mother's Day? And we got a feminist movement. As one calls them, feminazis.
You know what the problem is here? Mark it down, men. When you abdicate your position as a real child of the living God, you're not going to treat the women in your life right. You can't.
Just like America's problem is not the Democrats, it's not the unions, it's not the communists, it isn't even necessarily Al Gore.
It's the citizens of the country that stood by and let it happen. Why is there a feminist movement today? Because Christian men abdicated their position and didn't live up to the calling that they're supposed to have. The feminist movement didn't come out of nowhere. It should never have happened here. Never. We name the name of Christ. Church at Sardis, a name that it lives, but it's dead. Behold thy mother. I think that's a good question for us to consider, men. Behold our mothers and our wives and our daughters. Isn't it something how God took the weaker vessel and made her the strongest?
And the Savior of us all.
I think that's something to think about. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you this morning for the wonderful way that you went about the plan of salvation. And Lord, we confess to you this morning that things are terribly out of kilter here in America, where we have a Mother's Day and a feminist movement. Lord, it's like we're so confused. Lord, we live in a nation that needs to get back to you. We live in a nation that needs revival. We need godly women to carry on in the tradition that you set before Eve, and Lord, all those godly women that came after her. Lord, it's said by the sages of this world that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Lord, we know that's true. Most of us have more vivid memories of our mothers than we do our fathers. We learned all the facts of life from our dads, but we learn how to love from our moms. Lord, give us revival. And Lord, I pray for those that would be here this morning that aren't saved. Lord, that they would begin to understand that you have a plan and a purpose. And Lord, that plan and purpose of bringing your Son into this world was not so that we could go to an institution that we call a church and sit in a pew, listen to a message. But Lord, your intent was to have a personal relationship. And so, Lord, I pray that those that would be here this morning would understand that the prayers of their mothers would be that they'd know Christ. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are your children, that we'd consider how far Christianity has sunk. Right here in America, which is supposed to be the holiest place on earth. Dear Lord, we need revival. Lord, we need to have our minds conformed, not to this world, but renewed. Lord, teach us and guide us now in the way that you have for each of us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.